Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we share this message that is being posted to the internet as of January 2017, but was originally taught in July of 2015 during our Christmas in July meetings. And this had been lost in the archives, so we're very happy to be able to share this study with you, titled The Birth of the King, from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And you can send comments, questions, or prayer requests by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now our study titled, The Birth of the King, from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. This is part 1
and
of 2.
As we go through this study, I want you to have, we got ink pens up here, and I've got some pencils actually meant to bring in, but get a pencil or a pen and take notes, and put those notes in your Bible. I suggest using a pencil. Not that the Bible changes, but your notes may change over time. or you may just need to rephrase it or something. There's been Bibles that I used ink pens, and they had a lot of scribble marks. And I didn't want people to think I was, you know, changing my mind a lot or anything like that. But mechanical pencils are the best that I use. But get a pen if you need one. Take notes. We're going to move kind of quickly this morning. And we're not going to have time to linger on and meditate on every passage. But you can write these scriptures down. And every one that we're going to read this morning is an imperative scripture for all Christians, starting with Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And when you think of, I'm not trying to change culture. I'm not going to try to change everything in the world. The word Christmas is not a good word for the birth of Christ. But we've explained that to you. It comes from Christ Mass, which is the idea of the Mass at in Rome. But listen, folks, if you're going to get on to everybody using the word Christmas, you better get ready, because, first of all, we met on church on Sunday, the day of sun worship. Did you know that?
Yeah.
S-U-N day. You know why? Because y'all a bunch of pagans. Did you know that? You don't look at me like that. Y'all a bunch of pagans. We're all pagans. If you're saved, you're a saved pagan. Amen. We all come from a pagan background, so our calendars are pagan. I don't remember all the names, because they're a little changed over time, but the months are named after pagan gods.
Yeah.
Your holidays, even the resurrection of Jesus Christ is named after Ishtar. Now, what do you do? Try to change culture and everything we say? No, you can't do that. The Bible says that there is a place for liberty, and to make, I'm telling you a principle here. There's not a Bible verse that says this, but major in the majors. Keep the main thing the main thing. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not sent out to convert everybody to no longer say the word Christmas. I'm out to preach the gospel. Amen? So that's why we don't want, there's some well-meaning people out there who think they're going to change everybody and make everybody give up these words, but they got their hands full. I mean, you get down to it, birthdays. I mean, that's not something the Bible ever tells us to do. So should we stop doing it? Do we have to? No, I don't believe that. I believe that there's liberty, that as long as the way you celebrate someone's birthday is not pagan, you know, if you go out and kill an animal and sacrifice it in their honor, for example, you know, that kind of thing. But say, you know, so many Hail Marys and a Mass for the person when they die, that kind of thing. That's pagan. But just to celebrate the fact that, you know, Greg Miller was born on September 18th, if you want to write that down. Black licorice without high fructose corn syrup. Got to stay away from that stuff. But yeah, black licorice. And you say you don't like it? Good, more for me. So, we're focusing on the birth of the King, and that's what Christmas should be about. Whether you call it Christmas or not, that time of the year when people talk about Christmas, it's an opportunity for you to share this message, the birth of the King. We're going to read Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Hopefully you're there already. And let's read those two verses. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. Christmas, well, no matter what you call it, that time of year is a lot of fun for people who are a lot of fun. Amen?
Amen.
I'm a lot of fun to be around Christmas. I mean, I'm a lot of fun to be around all the time. Amen? I mean, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
I had to pull that one hard. I was like, damn. Come on. But I love Christmas. Man, you want to see, though, you talk about sourpusses. This world is filled with sourpusses, and Christmas is when they really come out of the closet. I mean, I'm putting up my light. Yeah, maybe it's only September. But it's my business. Amen? I'm putting up my lights. Now, why? I don't turn them on until Thanksgiving evening. Okay? But who's the smart guy? The one putting them out in September when it's 75 degrees, or the one who's out there freezing and complaining and saying, oh, I don't even know why I do this anymore? I'm like, I don't either. But Christmas can be a lot of fun. And everybody loves a good joke, and Christmas jokes are funny. Here's a right in the middle of the produce aisle, Frosty gets caught picking his nose. Hey. Kids, there's nothing sinful about being immature. Even at 45. That's funny. But it's not really about food, fun, family, presents. Do you know that? Oh, don't get me wrong. Don't take any of that away from me. But that's not what it's about. Can you understand that? That there's things that are involved in the Christian walk and Christian life. But that's not the main thing. Amen?
Amen.
We have a good time here. I love the fellowship. I love singing. I love praying together. I love donuts. Amen?
Amen.
But the main thing is what we're doing right now. Getting in this book. You know, I went to church for years, and the people would say the best services were the ones where there was no preaching. They start singing, and people get all emotional, and then people come forward at the altar, and oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, and everybody's like, oh, isn't that something? And oh, the Spirit of the Lord has fallen. I don't think we'll have any kind of preaching today. The Lord has already moved. And all the kids in the back are like, yeah. I'm not, hey, I'm just being real. That's the way it is. The kids love it. That's the opposite of church. If you think that church is you showing your emotions and everything, that's not church. As a matter of fact, I got a question for those people who come to church and have all that kind of experience, but the other 6 days of the week, the Word of God and prayer doesn't move them. You know, I weep, but it's almost always when I'm alone with God. And I'm just here to tell you, back when I tried to mimic what I saw in these churches, I was dry and empty. I was like a roller coaster. But you settle in and you have that 6 day a week relationship with the Lord where opening His Word and having prayer can move you to tears. That's Bible Christianity. King David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Amen.
He didn't find encouragement in the big hoopla. And that's, I believe, biblical Christianity. So the birth of Jesus is a very serious matter for us all. Even though we love all the other things. It says at the beginning of verse 9, verse 6 in chapter 9 that we read, for unto us, that's all of us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. I'm going to just lay it right out on the plate for you here. Why? This is so important. Why? Because if that hadn't happened, you're going to hell. If that hadn't happened, we have no hope. If that hadn't happened, we'd have no reason for living. Without Jesus, you don't have any reason for living. You know that? Why are so many people so empty in their daily walk? And that happens to Christians too. You get your eyes off of Jesus, you'll feel that emptiness. But you shouldn't, because you've got access to Him 24/7. By the name of Jesus, you can enter into the presence of God. Amen. The birth of Jesus Christ was clear. There, that's what I was talking about. I said, scream at the top of your lungs. Yeah, I appreciate that. We still love Him. But the birth of Jesus Christ was clearly foretold. You'd be amazed how many Christians have never let this really dawn on them. That between the first thing that happened, when Adam and Eve sinned and they came out of the garden, God promised that a woman would have seed that would come and bruise the head of the serpent.
Amen.
Amen. That's a prophecy of Jesus right there. And from that point on through the Old Testament, all these prophecies. But what was not always clear in those prophecies was what He would do when He came. See, that's what people aren't clear on. All, you know, most people say, oh yeah, baby Jesus. Oh yeah, Christmas time. Oh yeah. We'd go to church twice a year, Christmas and Ishtar. Amen? Look at what it says over and over in these prophecies about the coming of Jesus that you hardly ever hear brought up during Christmas time. As a matter of fact, a lot of the Christmas cards will quote Isaiah 9:6 and they stop right before this word "and." Mm-hmm. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, dot, dot, dot. And they stop it. Mm-hmm. That's the reason He came. Read what it says. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. Oh, wait a minute. What? You aren't going to get into politics here this morning, are you, preacher? Not really politics. I'm going to get into a monarchy.
Amen.
Jesus came to be King. And listen, alright, it's true. He is King of heaven. And He is really King of all right now. But not in a practical sense. He's not. And thank God for that. If Jesus was ruling on this earth, isn't that a mess? Do you know there are people who actually teach that this is the millennium? There are people who teach that the millennium is symbolic of the church age and we're in it. I'm going to say, Lord, I don't want to seem disrespectful, but you're messing up down here. Amen? I mean, really, how wicked. I mean, we live in a sheltered world. I don't care who you are this morning, you shelter yourself from all the truth of the wickedness going on every day, or you go insane.
Mm-hmm.
Nasty, wicked world. So, why did Jesus come? He's going to take care of that wickedness. He's going to set up a kingdom on this earth. And He is going to have a government that is transparent, that doesn't have the corruption that we see today. And He is not going to have to run for re-election. Amen.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that's going to make the millennium is the fact that there will be no political ads or campaigns for 1,000 years. The only downside is the comedians are going to lose all their material.
You know?
The story of Jesus. I want you to get this planted right here. The story of Jesus is the story of a king.
Amen.
There's a lot more to it, yes. But that's the priority purpose of the coming of Jesus. He is a king. And He will rule and reign for 1,000 years. He will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Then at the end of that 1,000, He will destroy all who come against Him. There'll be one last rebellion at the end of that 1,000 years. And then there'll be a great white throne judgment. And forever and ever, Jesus will rule as king. That's what it's about, folks. We get our place in there. But it's about this. Read it again. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom. I mean, look at that. If you haven't ever really looked at that before, it's amazing. Oh, we'll read it. Blah, 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 blah. You know? And sadly, that's the way people read through the Bible. They'll go through the Bible every year, but they read it like that. Blah, blah, blah. And then you sit back and you read that. Wait a minute. In two verses, it's told us His purpose from coming was government. Twice in two verses. Government. Isn't that something? Peace. There has been no peace, folks. You can actually read historical studies that show that there's never been a time where there was absolute peace on earth. And there will not be until the Prince of Peace sits on the throne. Amen? Upon the throne of David. This isn't some subjective, fairy tale, fictitious thing. This is real. David sat on a real throne, and his seed is going to come and sit on a real throne.
Amen.
Even his second coming, of course, will be about his kingdom. The church is raptured before this and caught up and out of the way so that the king can set up his kingdom. I know you don't think of it that way, but that's what the rapture really is just get us out of the way.
Amen.
Yeah. He's called out of people under his name. He's built a body called the body of Christ, the church. And when time comes, his timing, it's got to be his timing. But when his timing comes, the church is pulled out of the way so that he can finish what he started in the previous 69 weeks of Daniel with Israel. He's going to finish in that 70th week. Folks, when you rightly divide the Word of God, it is amazing. Why so many people give up on the Bible is because they refuse to follow the dispensations and to rightly divide. And if you don't know what I just said in dispensations, you need to learn that. If you don't learn it, you'll never fall in love with that book. There are very few people, even in church history, who fell in love with that book because they didn't rightly divide. They didn't understand it. How can you really fall in love with a book if you don't understand it? It says he comes to order it and to establish it. I mean, it's not some pie-in-the-sky thing. This is going to be real. He's going to rule, and we are going to rule and reign with him, and you're going to have assignments. I mean, this morning you had this very difficult assignment of putting a piece of paper in the back of the praise book. You passed with flying colors. You'd be amazed at how many people just couldn't do what I asked them to do this morning. They'd be like, what? Wait a minute, this hymn book doesn't have... I didn't say hymn book, it said praise book. What's that? So let's have a little reality check. The cross and empty tomb enabled us to be in the kingdom. You ever think of it like that? A lot of Christians just think of it as, oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I won't go to hell. The end. No. No, it's just you are saved. You're not going to hell. You will go to heaven. But you are now a part of His kingdom. And this is just the beginning. Satan, though, desires the throne and is at war. Some of you better wake up to that. There's a war going on. And you're caught in the middle of it. You can read history. If you read the history of wars, you'll find this happens. People are all surrounded by fighting, but as long as it doesn't hit their little town and their home, they're oblivious to it. Matter of fact, not endorsing the movie, but I thought it was a really good one, is Mel Gibson's The Patriot.
Oh, amen.
Show of hands, how many of you have backslid and watched that? Amen. Yeah. Oh, me. And if you watch that movie, it's fiction based on history, historical fiction. And he represents a large amount of people who were here during the Revolution who didn't want anything to do with the war and were oblivious to it until it hit them right between the eyes. And that movie is like a parable of the Christian life for most people, for all of us, really.
Yeah.
I was oblivious to this war until it hit me. And if it didn't hit you yet, you better prepare now. It's coming.
Amen.
And I'll tell you this too. It only will come when you start to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
If you sit on the bench and don't do anything for the Lord, Satan's not going to mess with you. Kind of right where I need him. You know? But once you get in the game, Satan comes for the knees. Understanding this reality is imperative to understanding spiritual warfare. A lot of people out there are into spiritual warfare and they have no idea what it's about.
Yeah.
And they'll spiritualize everything and not take the Word as real, and so they don't know what it's all about. Consider John 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy." Why? Just for kicks? He's at war. And if you studied anything about war, people die. People get killed. When people forget that about war, that's when they start waving a flag and saying, oh, bomb them, bomb them. Let's go to war. That's easy for you to say if you're not the one going over. That's why congregants can do it real easy. And that's also easy if it's not your child going over there. But anybody who knows reality, we need a strong defense. I am pro-defense. So that we don't have to go to war. Let me tell you something. When the country puts down, they forget that there's a war going on. There's always a war going on, folks. Always war. We have relative peace in our country, but there is war going on right now. And we need a strong defense so that we won't go to war. As one of the things Ronald Reagan taught, and that was his one of his, you may not like a lot about Reagan, but one of the things he got right was peace through strength.
Amen.
And you look at history, both the world wars took place when we had let our military shrink to the point that overseas they got cocky and thought they could take on America. Well, that same thing happens in your life. I'm not preaching politics here. That's just a real good illustration because it's warfare. And when you start putting down your weapons and you start thinking you can relax and then you try to serve the Lord, you're going to get shot.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, that's warped today in the charismatic word faith stuff. But it's true when it's biblically understood. And that is, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. If you're saved this morning, you have life. You say, well, my life's not real abundant. Well, first of all, as an American, you need to wake up. Look around the world. Even the poor in America live like wealthy people.
Amen.
But even if great economic depression hits America, which is being predicted for September and October, so buy some extra veggies and that sort of thing and be ready for maybe a few weeks of eating oatmeal and beans. But if that happens, you're still living abundant because you have the power of God in you, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have the promise of eternal life. And the only Christian who doesn't think that even in your poorest moments, you're living the abundant life is a Christian who doesn't understand the Word and doesn't have this real perspective on the realities of Scripture. And when we get over, cross over into that eternity, we're all going to think how silly we were because we got so upset and so bogged down with the troubles of this life. We're going to realize it wasn't worth all that. And Dan, I'm not preaching at you this morning, but we prayed about it. And that's an example of it. So you have to move, you have to sell your house and all that. I mean, keep this perspective and it'll keep your head above water. Somebody says you got a health problem. Somebody says you may lose your job or somebody says you're fired. Keep this perspective and it'll keep your head above water. Amen. God is going to catch the thief in His own time. Amen. But right now there's a war going on, and His Word is even more sure than this.
On Wednesday night, July the 8th, Stanley's Market and Restaurant on Highway 71 was broken into and burglarized. The thief smashed the front glass with a large rock, kicked in the office door, and made off with hundreds of dollars in cash. Watch as the man commits his crime. Look at him close. The hooded jacket he's wearing is camouflaged. He appears to be light-skinned or white, and he looks to be around 6 foot tall and thin. Watch how he walks with sort of a lanky gait. Stanley's has been a local favorite for decades. The family works hard and is known to be generous. Always with a kind word for friend or stranger, the Stanley family represents Southern hospitality at its best. If you're the man that committed this felony, look at me, son. I'm talking to you. The sheriff likes Stanley's restaurant, and so do I. The food here is good, and the folks are friendly. We're going to identify you, arrest you, and put you in a small cell. After that, I'm going to have a cheeseburger here with fries and a Coke, and leave a nice tip for the waitress. Meanwhile, your next meal will be served through a small hole in a cell door. Because our detectives harvested DNA from the rock you used, and you left a perfect blueprint on the door you kicked in. But we won't have to wait on lab results, because you're on St. Landry Crime Stoppers tonight. Congratulations, son. I'm about to make you famous. By tomorrow, 100,000 people will have watched you commit a felony. You will be recognized. And the people that know you don't really like you anyway. So when it comes down to a choice between you and $1,000, they'll take the cash. On behalf of Crime Stoppers, I'm Lieutenant Higgins.
If you have any,
amen. That is just a perfect illustration of what the Bible tells us about Satan. Satan, God has seen his crimes. God has all the evidence lined up. Read Isaiah 14. Read Ezekiel 28. Genesis 3. It's all right there. He's going to be put on trial. He's going to be convicted. And he's going to be cast into a lake of fire.
Amen.
And his word is more sure than that guy. Although I think he's going to... And then he's going to have him a cheeseburger right there. But you understand that Satan knows what we're talking about this morning. He knows. He knows. And that's why he desperately works to thwart God's plan to arrest him. Amen? I said consider John 10:10. It's actually 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, he's your adversary. You're in a war whether you know it or not. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Newsflash for you this morning. I know you're not hearing this in a lot of the preaching and teaching, but the devil is after you. And you say, well, I'm saved. He can't get me. He can't get your soul, but he can get your body. He can cause you to sin, and he can use you against Jesus in this war. He can use you to bring shame and reproach against the cause of Christ. He can use you to bring down your own family members and your friends. He can use you. God wants to save sinners like you, but it's not just about you. You're in the big picture now, folks. You're in a war. Jesus is the seed of David. Now, you listen to these Christmas songs, you hear all this, but people don't pay attention to the words. He's the seed of David. He's the heir to the throne of Israel. As the angel Gabriel explains, we'll read a few verses as we're getting ready to wrap this up. Go to Luke chapter 1. And I say that because that makes everybody think, oh, good, he's almost done. Let's get in. Let's wake up. He's almost done. Yeah. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Go ahead and turn there in your Bible. We'll have it up here. But turn this. This is a passage in Scripture. It's read every Christmas time. And people don't pay attention to what it says. Luke chapter 1 begins, I'll read verse 26 and 27. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Gabriel, the angel, shows up, okay? Verse 27 says, he shows up to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Folks, there's a reason why Jesus was born of the house of David. It's because of the kingdom. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail! Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Folks, the Catholics have got it wrong. But don't disrespect Mary. Mary is blessed among women, and we should hold her in high regard. Just don't be making statues, bowing down, burning incense, and praying rosaries. But we should honor Mary. And verse 29:30 says, And when she saw him, Gabriel, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Read verse 31 with me. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Now this coming year, you watch how many times, that's where the story ends. That's not where the story ends. Now watch as Gabriel gives us the main reason for the birth.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.